On Christmas Eve, I shared these words as a call, or maybe better yet, as a gift for us all as we enter into the new year. Not gold, nor myrrh, nor even frankincense would I have for you this season, but simple gifts, the ones that are hardest to find, the ones that are perfect, even for those who have everything, if such there be. I would, if I could, have for you the gift of courage, the strength to face the gauntlets that only you can name, the firmness in your heart to know that you, yes, you, can be a bearer of the quiet dignity that is human glorified. I would, if by my intention I could make it happen, have for you the gift of connection, the sense of standing on the hinge of time, touching past and future, standing with certainty that you, yes, you, are the point where it all comes together. I would, if wishing could make it so, have for you the gift of community, a nucleus of love and challenge to convince you in your soul that you, yes, you, are the source of light in a world too long believing in the dark. Not gold, nor myrrh, nor even frankincense would I have for you this season, but simple gifts, the ones that are hardest to find, the ones that are perfect, even for those who have everything, if such there be. This morning, I want to specifically call out the short passage that asks us to embrace the imagery of standing on the hinge of time, touching past and future, standing with certainty that you, yes, you, are the point where it all comes together. That is truly a powerful image. I invite you to embrace this truth, that this is where we are, all of us, right now, in this moment, standing on this hinge of time, touching past and future. This is the point where it all comes together, regardless of how undone it may actually feel. Right now is where one can make a choice to change course. Right now is where one can muster the courage and make a stand. Right now. This morning I thought it might be interesting for us to look back at 2017. Those moments that we shared during any given Sunday. A focused view of the culmination of everything that has come before. At least everything this year. All that we have experienced, learned, actively hoped, and worked towards. I created a patchwork of thought from all of the many sermons that I have shared over the last 12 months, bringing it together, balanced on that hinge of time. So I began in the beginning, January 2017. The beginning of uncertainty for many, our country divided, anger and frustration abounded. It was the beginning of a very scary year. And I charged us with this. Let us resolve to build and rebuild the infrastructure of our relationships, our interdependent web of all existence, ever repairing and building day in and day out in awe of our differences. We may have to learn how to pray for those who think that they have it all figured out, but clearly do not. I ask us to recommit and covenant to create this brand new day that we all, truly all of us, hopes, dreams, and prays for. I shared this sentiment right around the time of the inauguration. The day after the inauguration, women rose in defiance. People rose in huge numbers, donned pink hats at the Women's March to speak out as individuals, but to do so together. I reminded us with, my friends, life is not easy. It is filled with heartache and disappointment and fear. Fear is a big one. But I believe we must face into fear. We must do so from a place of hope, inspired by our faith in that small, still voice within, inspired to act from a place of love, inspired by that constant stream of universal grace. We will always face challenges. We will be mocked and chastised by misguided bullies with agendas that are inspired to harm instead of heal. My question to you this morning is, will we rise? Will we be inspired to act? Will we be bestowers of grace in our world? Excuse me. My question this morning, as we look into our future, into 2018, still is, will we rise? Will we resist? Will we fight the good fight, even though it is clear that the few do not care about the many? The few, because of obscene affluence, are not afraid of political or societal consequences. They know, and they have known for generations, that their money can buy and can sway. We will rise. And do we have the willpower to rise again and again? Because we will need it. In May of 2017, I wondered aloud, have you ever had such an experience where you thought you'd be somewhere else doing something else, and then you made a drastic or maybe even an imperceptible turn that brought you somewhere else altogether? You woke up one morning and thought, how did this happen? I went on. One has to wonder what it was that compelled us to choose if we were not born into this community, Unitarian Universalism. I mean, really, there are a lot of religious spiritual communities out there. Maybe it was an invitation from a friend, the Sunday morning message, the community, the commitment to social justice, the lack of critical and scary dogma. Maybe it was the call of the work to make our community a more welcoming place. Or maybe, just maybe, the call of our life's mission. What are the implications of being a bona fide Unitarian Universalist? And why do we continue to want to be one? Why is being a UU important to our identity, our carefully constructed sense of self? It is so easy in our consumer culture to shop for a different enriching experience to fill one's spiritual, emotional, intellectual needs on any given Sunday. And throughout the week, meditation and yoga and golf, tennis, walking in the woods. My father claimed fly fishing over Catholicism as his spiritual practice. The reason is different for each one of us, but for me it's pretty basic. I want to wrestle with the big questions, the big issues, and then I want to go out there and I want to do something about it. Beyond praying to make this community, state, country, world a better place. It's easy to send a check. It's much more challenging to show up and do the hard work. That's who we are. Those people who stand on the side of love over and over again. It is our standing in our commitment to action, in our witness, that we step beyond optimism and create a sense of hope for one another. We saw this happen this year at the Women's and the Science Marches. These events brought hope back into my year. Theologian Cornel West unwraps the distinction between optimism and hope. He explains that optimism is a notion that there's sufficient evidence that would allow us to infer that if we keep doing what we're doing, things will get better. Hope is something else. It is cutting against the grain, against the evidence, stepping out on nothing and landing on something. That is the future. It's open-ended. That we think and what we do can actually make a difference. That's hope. That is the choice that we first made and continue to make every day when we show up as hopeful and committed Unitarian Universalists. May 7th, 2017. This was a very difficult morning, and I shared that it is a long road from accident or diagnoses to recovery. And on this road, there's a significant process of personal realization. At the gym that I frequent, there is a saying that I hear regularly, whether you think you can or that you think you can't, you're right. Our body is powerful, but our mind and our spirit are powerful beyond measure. At some point or another, albeit the circumstances may be different, but we are all on this road to recovery and realization, whether we know it or not. We may falter or fall. We may wonder, why me? But never wonder or think for a moment that any one of us is alone. Change can happen in an instant. It is shocking, difficult, and in some cases, truly enlightening. But it is up to each one of us to know how we will proceed. The pain is painful. The uncertainty is real. The care and love and intentions of those around are truly palpable. Heartbroken, we take a moment in silence to remember all those whom we have loved and lost this year. You are with us still. The world and our view of our place in it may have changed, maybe a bit different in September 2017. Atonement, the practice of becoming at one with yourself and with others and with this planet. We have a choice where we will spend our mental, emotional, and physical currency. We have a choice to focus on the end of days as a way out of this predicament that we have cultivated, or to put in the life-changing effort to make things right. Every thought, interaction, and decision we engendered is our own. We seed what we expect, what we want, even if we're terrified of the outcome. If we are silent, we are complacent. And we can no longer afford to be silent. Silence equals death. This Unitarian Universalist faith is not for the faint of heart. Thus I turn to the Grande Dame, Eleanor Roosevelt, who shared, "Once more, we are in a period of uncertainty, of danger, in which not only our own safety, but that of all mankind is threatened. Once more, we need the qualities that inspire the development of the democratic way of life. We need imagination and integrity, courage and a high heart. We need to fan that spark of conviction, which may again inspire the world as we did with our new idea of the dignity and worth of free men. But first, we must learn to cast out fear. People who view with alarm never build anything." Wise words from a very wise woman ring truer now as they did then. Many years ago, as we contemplate what is yet to come. This last October, I challenged us yet again, lovingly, of course, sharing that it is our choice in each moment, with each challenge or fear, whether or not to respond with courage. How can we build such a response? To cultivate courage, one must also cultivate a sense of worthiness. We begin with an understanding which is encompassed by our first UU principle, realizing that ours and others' inherent worth and dignity is innate and not earned. We extend and grasp an understanding that others matter no more or no less than we do. This is a bit challenging at times to comprehend when our country's actions say something that is completely opposite. My friends, many of us believe that we'll be fully deserving of love and belonging only when we meet certain external expectations. When we lose that 10 pounds. When we get married or divorced. Have a child. Get that big promotion. Or retire. We are waiting and waiting for something to come. It's an attitude that not only keeps us from living fully in the present moment, but it also undermines our ability to stand for values now. If we do not believe our stance is worth fighting for, we won't fight for it. To find our way to courage, we must identify the patterns that hold us back, befriend and better understand the stress that causes us to be stuck, our own power, and refuse to give it away, to allow someone else to take it away or shame us into silence. Find allies who will help us to remember that we are powerful and stay committed to living a life of integrity based on our values, also known as our UU principles. This morning, I'm here to remind us that if we want to make a difference in the world, we must start with our own minds and hearts. Dare to face our fear, put aside judgments of ourselves and others, and to know without a doubt that if we build the beloved community, the people will come, wholly expecting to be fully accepted for who they are and what they bring. Let's be ready to do just that. Let us be ready each and every moment to do just that. To be ready to accept all who come with an open heart, open mind, and open arms. This one precious life that we live is all about preparing to greet, support, and love our neighbor, as well as our enemies, as ourself. I thought it would be fitting to finish with an important thought that I shared in February of last year. Here it is. My friends, as Unitarian Universalists, it is our calling to hope, to pray, to love, and to take action when we witness oppression, exclusion, or subjugation of anyone, regardless of religion, race, identity, or politics. We could remain silent, but it's our moral imperative, our UU calling, our commitment to those who come before us to carry on the mantle of justice and to push forward. It is well known that service is our prayer and action our creed. Unitarian Universalism demands that we speak up and out about those who prey on the weak for profit. We are called to be advocates for those whom are voiceless, even when we desperately want nothing more than an easy, well-worn, well-traveled road. It is not meant for us. We have made our choice. We are Unitarian Universalists. We believe in peace, liberty, justice, and freedom for all. To those whom much is given, much is expected. Personally, I am relieved that 2017 is over. Am I the only one in this? No? I got some other people out there? Okay. I look forward to moving forward in loving persistence in 2018. And I say that very consciously, loving persistence. We stand on the hinge of time, touching past and future, standing with certainty that you, yes, you, are the point where it all comes together. It is up to us to learn, to glean wisdom from the places that we have traveled. Looking forward, what will we do with our one that we know of, precious life? On this eve of yet another new year, I ask us to simply be safe, be good, seed loving kindness in your wake, cultivate courage within, and lift up all whom you meet and advocate for all who are downtrodden and in need. We have survived a very difficult year, and I'm so proud of the work that we have done, the care that we have given one another. I'm proud of the way that we've stood up, and we have marched, we have written letters and sent checks and made phone calls, became outraged at times, sad at other times, and overjoyed at others. We can hold all of those emotions. I'm so humbled by the love and the growth, the patience and the care that we have shared. I'm so glad to see the open arms that we share week after week. Thank you for being you. Thank you for offering all that you do. And thank you all that you will bring, for all that you will bring into 2018 as we continue to journey together in the now.